Today on Real Life Radio.
Let's not forget that the sanctity of life God loves, and the unborn child is a miracle. Even if, as it was with David, who King David said of himself, as it is true for all of us, that he was conceived in sin. You know what that means? David's not taking a punch at us. It's that we all have a fallen nature.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, keeping our eyes off of ourselves and on what would please the Lord and bring Him glory takes a special kind of determination and focus. That's why starting the day with devotions is a great way towards a meaningful and lasting relationship with Christ. But with tight schedules and hectic lifestyles, we don't always want to waste precious time searching for inspiring devotional material. So Pastor Jack has written and provided them for us. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on the tab labeled Devotions. There's a new one every week, along with quick and easy access to previous devotions, with titles such as The Eternal Love of the Lord, Our Awesome God, and Blessings in Abundance. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's devotional newsletter when you type in your email address. Again, it's available on our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. You can also have access to Pastor Jack's devotions when you download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Politics and Your Faith with a message titled, Why Defending the Preborn Matters. The Apostle Paul wrote many encouraging words, including how God holds our human existence above all else. It's why this series is so vitally important, especially when it comes to how we vote in the upcoming election. So we urge you to stay tuned. You see, preborn life is not only a political issue, it's a moral issue. It's a spiritual issue. But as a culture, we've left our biblical worldview to the point that we consider human life something disposable. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that before God formed us in the womb, He knew us. Life is a God-given creation that's to be lived out to its ultimate end. Now, with his message called Why Defending the Preborn Matters, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
That as we look to our third topic tonight, in this very specific worldview series issue regarding politics and how we as Christians take our faith outside the walls of this church and outside the walls of our home, and we speak up and we live up to the reality of our faith that we are to preach Christ, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, who died on the cross for our sins, and that transforming power makes us brand new people. That if we put our trust and faith in Jesus and all that He has done for us, that we'll be born again and we'll experience new life. And that new life will change the culture of our lives, our marriages, our conduct, our homes, our children, our neighborhood, our city, our county, our state, our nation, the world. And so, God, we take Your word seriously. We believe it, every word. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that until You do come again, if it's tonight, if it's next month, if it's 20 years from now, that we would be busy about our Father's business. And may we shine the light of righteousness everywhere we go, in the workplace, in the public square, in our leisure, everywhere. We are to be Christians everywhere at all times. So Lord, bless our study now. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, let's grab our Bibles and turn, if you would, as you well know, to Acts chapter 17. That's where we launch out every Wednesday night, Acts chapter 17. And we've come now to this very important part. It's technically our third part, but really four parts, including the introduction of this, regarding our biblical worldview and politics. And we kind of drew you in by dropping the word politics. And then we turned on you a few weeks ago and introduced you to those three vital issues of what we're calling the Trinity of Truth. The Trinity of Truth. What God says and how it matches up with this election. And by the way, how this, it doesn't have to be election season for us to apply this wisdom. that as Christians engage in our culture from a biblical worldview, to debates, to arguments, to talking to somebody at the water cooler at work, that as Christians, somebody would say to us, well, you know what? It's not right to mix religion and politics. Or what else do people say? You shouldn't mix politics with anything or whatever. You know, I'm not exactly sure what the little buzzword is, but you've heard something like that, haven't you, before? And let me ask you something. Isn't it funny? Notice the people who say such things. Notice them, first of all. Who is saying it's not right to mix politics and religion? Because I'll come back to you and say, why is it okay for politics to be mixed into every aspect of my life but religion? Now, what's interesting is those who are making the political argument that, well, you know, we're coming from the political side, they tell me that I must keep out of their argument because of my religious convictions. But then what I would say to them is, based upon the politics of the United States of America, my First Amendment right is a religious right. And that the founders' intent was to have a nation that was not free from religion, but had the free exercise of religion. Remember the First Amendment. And this is very, very key, because my friends, listen, the truth is, politics mixes itself into every aspect of your life, and ladies and gentlemen, the truth is politics inserts itself into religious life every single day. And the proof of it is when politicians or those of the political persuasion would say, we're going to talk about Israel, but you can't because it's a political issue. And you've been learning how that's not true. Somebody would say, well, we're going to talk about abortion, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, but that's a political issue and you have no say if you have a religious persuasion. And then if you're going to talk about natural marriage, they're going to say, no, that's a political issue. We'll govern the reins on that. You, Christian, be quiet. You can't speak into that realm because you're coming from a religious side. And those three issues, which are the Trinity of Truth voting issues, are things that are purely, solely based upon a spiritual foundation. God has said his word on all three of those things. And so in our previous studies, we looked at what God says regarding natural marriage. What the Bible says, what culture says, what science says, what sociology says, what biology says, chemistry says, what history says about natural marriage. And then we looked at, what was the other one? Israel. What does God say about Israel? And people, again, I love it because it just causes everything to evaporate when you begin to insert the truth into the argument that Israel, we said that's a political issue. No, it's not. Israel is a spiritual issue. Says God. And so tonight we'll be talking about politics and the preborn child. And I know tonight that this topic is very, very sensitive. And that's why tonight we're going to end in a certain direction tonight. Listen, in a crowd this size, there is no doubt that people have been affected by abortion in their lives or a miscarriage. That maybe someone's here tonight that has had an abortion, or maybe there's a man here tonight who forced someone or encouraged someone to have an abortion. I understand that. And before I go any further, the Bible says there's grace and there's forgiveness regarding what abortion is all about. And I want to encourage you, the Bible is the only book in all of the world, and Christianity is the only place that you can find forgiveness of any sin because of what Jesus Christ has done. And when we consider what Paul was announcing in Acts chapter 17 to the Athenians and their paganism, mark this down. At that time, 2,000 years ago, abortions were being performed back in those days. It predates even the time of Christ. Did you know that? Abortion? They had all kinds of various means of performing abortions. And abortions were very prominent in the pagan world. because temple prostitution was a big deal. Promiscuity was a big deal. People would get pregnant all the time and they would perform abortions. They're brutal. You can look it up later. Of course, all abortions are brutal. But the women in those days went through tremendous brutality to induce a miscarriage, which in that case, an induced miscarriage, of course, would be abortion. But in Acts chapter 17, 28, Paul is speaking to them, not about that topic, but the topic that can alleviate the pain, the suffering, and the sorrow of pagan practices and unbelief. And verse 28, he says, "For it is in him," that is the God of all creation, the God of all humanity, "that we live and move and have our being." It's a sad day, Christian, tonight, that as we gather together, that in our culture, we've declined so far from the place of being devolving, I think, as a people, to a point where human life is viewed as something as disposable. It can be thrown away. Are you aware of the fact, I'm sure that you are, that hospitals have drop locations for unwanted babies, and that every fire station is a drop location for an unwanted baby? Why did we do that in America? Because far too many babies were winding up in trash cans in America, the land of the free. Now, when we talk about the issue of politics, we cannot speak about politics without talking about abortion, this talk about pro-life and abortion rights, and it's a woman's right to choose, and all of these things. Much, if not all, of these arguments are often smokescreens hiding the stark reality of the fact that we are a culture that is, we're losing our Judeo-Christian worldview on the value of life, and that's a very critical thing. By way of introduction, you know this, but it's important to stress. I want to give you several verses. Again, Proverbs 29, verse 2. When you vote, when you put people in power, hold this standard to them. Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, people groan." And I think God is groaning tonight over the abortion issue in America. 57 million children since 1973 have been murdered. God calls it murder. You might say, "Well, my political science teacher doesn't call it murder." Well, they're wrong. Planned Parenthood doesn't call it murder. They're wrong. The Democratic Party doesn't call it murder. They're wrong. It's murder. God says it's murder. A miscarriage is something completely different. If you're pregnant and you have a miscarriage, that is in the plan and is in the hand of God. He has his purposes. No man knows but God only. But today I tell you what, if the lights get unplugged and we go dark in a second, let me get this out right now. If you're pregnant and you're listening in right now, or you're watching right now via TV, or you're here right now and you're pregnant, or you fear that you are pregnant, listen, I want to encourage you, two wrongs don't make a right. If you're pregnant tonight, then listen, let that child, the miraculous work that's going on in your life, let that child come to full term and be adopted. There are hundreds of thousands of families wanting to adopt a child.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, its ability to heal a culture, how shall it be reseasoned?" is what the word means. "It is then therefore good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in a house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's not forget that the sanctity of life God loves, and the unborn child is a miracle. Even if, as it was with David, who King David said of himself, as it is true for all of us, that he was conceived in sin. You know what that means? David's not taking a punch at us. It's that we all have a fallen nature. David's mom, David is saying, when she conceived him, it was in a sinful world, and as cute as a baby is that's born into this world, we all have a sinful nature. But God doesn't give up on us. God redeems us. He buys us back out of that slave market of sin. Abortion most often is always centered around the convenience, the desire, or regarding the circumstances of the mother and or of the father. Mother Teresa, I don't think I've ever quoted her. Mother Teresa said on this topic, "It is a poverty to decide that a child must die so that you may live as you wish." Ronald Reagan said, "I notice that all of the people who support abortion are those who have already been born." Leave it up to him to put it that way. Here we go. Number one, politics and the preborn child. Mark it down. Number one argument is this: the genesis of the question regarding life. Is it living? Is it real? Is it a child? Is it a fetus? Is it a human? What's the genesis of the question? In a sane world, someone might ask the question, what in the world? You hear my sarcasm? In a sane world, someone might ask the question regarding tonight's topic, what does politics have to do with the creation of life? And I think that's a good question. Well, Pastor, you shouldn't be talking about these political issues. Somebody told me last week, why don't you just teach the Bible? Well, I hope that person was here last Sunday when about 93 people accepted Christ because the Bible was preached and the Bible was taught. You see, the issue is, what in the world does politics have to do with invading your life? What does politics have to do with invading this pulpit or the doctrines of the Bible and the issue of life? God is the giver of life, not the government. God gives life. And the genesis of the question of, is it living? Is it viable? Well, listen, somebody once said, Thomas Jefferson, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That means any idiot can figure these things out. That all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their creator. You either believe this or you don't. I believe that. With certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I want to ask you this question. At what point does an individual receive these rights? Just don't answer me. I'm just asking you a question. Be thinking. According to what Thomas Jefferson wrote, which I believe God deposited that right into his head, because that is absolute truth. We have been created by our Creator. And God, according to the Bible, read it, wants you to experience life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. That is an awesome statement. That is a biblical truth. And that we have these rights given to us by God that are unalienable. You can't parse them out from someone's life. And then now we get down to the nitty-gritty workings of it. At what point is something alive and then warrants or qualifies for the Creator to bestow upon it or him or her these rights? This is the question. So that's why the first point is the genesis of the question. Is when does life begin? I love this stuff. Mark this down. When does life begin? Politically, when does life begin? Well, it's debatable, isn't it? It's always changing. Well, when does life begin morally? Well, we could give that argument some grace and say, let's talk about you mean morally in the sense of scientifically. Because the other category is, when does life begin spiritually? We know what that means. We know what the Bible says about that. But here's my thing. If we're going to do this little experiment tonight, the God who created science and the God who created the Bible, the God who created all that there is, there should be a 100% correlation of these issues, because the God that made these things cannot lie against himself. He's not confused. He doesn't contradict himself. Are you with me? Do you understand that? If you understand true science, it will be in direct harmony with the Bible. Technology, with the advent and advancement of it, qualifies that every time. So when does life begin is the great question. And what's beautiful as we get into this, keep this in mind as we look through these verses. When does life begin? The genesis of the question, when does life begin? I've said this before. I want to state it again as well. It's predominantly, almost always, certainly in the context of this study, regarding the issue of the baby. Or if you are a progressive liberal, the fetus or the mass. By the way, I just recently heard a real person say that an unwanted pregnancy is a form of a sexually transmitted disease. An educated, degreed individual that if the child or that the thing is unwanted, it is none other than a sexually transmitted disease. That, I believe, is on the verge or the threshold of a culture that is ripe for the judgment of God when we begin to think like that. That is a reprobate mind, in my opinion. That's just my opinion, which is worth nothing. But listen, you want to talk about when does life begin and when is it viable and when it's so hypocritical in the political realm, because if you take kids out of a science course, they understand the argument perfectly well without the political infusion of confusion. Why? Because the egg in the female, is it alive or dead?
Alive.
It's alive. It's alive. The sperm in the male, alive or dead?
Alive.
When those two living things collide, you've got a miracle. Period. A miracle. A mathematical miracle, a chemistry miracle, a biological miracle, a miracle of miracles. Science knows it. Everybody knows it. Except the politicians don't know it. Well, take the RU46 pill and kill the conception within 24 hours. Pop the pill, abort the process. Just understand this, and we know this now more than ever in our scientific culture. You are destroying what God says is his miraculous work. If God wasn't at work, there wouldn't have been a pregnancy. Psalm 139, verse 13 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." What a beautiful work. You see God inside David's mother's womb, knitting his DNA together. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful and I know them full well." The Bible, Psalm 139, 3,000 years old. And the Bible says, God engineered me when I was inside my mother's womb. The Bible. And we know that as a scientific fact today.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called "Why Defending the Preborn Matters." You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Politics and Your Faith. It's a series on obeying God in all things, including politics, government, and our worldview. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, this is the truth.
Yeah.
I was going to call you this week because I was explaining to producer Johnny, who happens to be my oldest son.
What?
I was trying to, because I'm working on Samuel, right? First Samuel.
Yeah.
And I got names confused.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
And the fact that, was it Eli or that was Samuel that was...
Yeah, all those guys are in there. All that
okay,
dynamic with Eli and his sons,
right,
and it's a
who
disaster.
Who was given to the temple?
Yeah, Samuel.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, but here I am standing at the kitchen sink trying to remember all these names, Eli, Samuel, blah, blah, blah. And I had a hard time, and I thought to myself, I'm going to call Pastor Jack right now and ask him if Wiersbe can explain.
Yeah, well,
this
I
to
saw
me.
You call him and I didn't answer.
And you, yeah, yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Hit the little red button. Oh, it's Davey. But there's a book out,
oh, yes,
by Warren Wiersbe. Tell me about it.
Oh, my goodness. Look, we're holding it right now. It's about 6 inches tall and about 3 inches thick. But don't let that scare you, everybody. Let that bless you. For example, look at that. I just happened to turn to 1 Samuel.
No, I'll be dog.
Wow.
Look at that.
Now, I don't encourage Bible roulette in your life,
right,
but I just did that right now. Chapter 1, chapter 2, away it goes. He explains and gives you, for example, the meaning of words, the times and the seasons of which this book came about, what was going on. In fact, listen, this is a great one. Finding Jesus Christ in the Psalms, and he lists all the passages of Scripture where Christ is mentioned in the book of Psalms. This is, you know, I got to tell you, if all in the entire year you had one book to buy,
mm-hmm,
this is the book to buy. Have this book next to your Bible and have a blast going through the Bible just by yourself. You just go through this, and in short order, every chapter of the Bible has a brief overview of what that chapter contains. Why and what does it mean? And it's just a great book. With the Word, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, Chapter by Chapter Handbook of the Bible.
With the Word by Dr. Warren Wiersbe is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.